request that I would like to bring before us this morning. We were scheduled tomorrow to have Dr. Larry Wynn, who is the pastor of the Hebron Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia, to come and speak to us. But last week, his 10-year-old daughter had brain surgery. They had found a tumor on her brain. They had done emergency surgery in the first part of the week and then went back in later to take out the tumor. The most recent report that we have is that the surgery was successful, that the tumor was benign, and therefore they're very hopeful, but they're still, of course, in some very critical days, and so we want to continue to pray for her. She is his 10-year-old daughter, and so we want to pray for Brother Larry's daughter today. Dr. Patterson is also today speaking at the Indiana Baptist Convention and representing our seminary there, and so we want to keep him in our prayers as well. So at this time, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father. Brother Johnny, you come and pray for us at this time.
Let us pray together. Father and Lord, we love you, worship you, and adore you. We thank you for calling us here together today to this hour of worship and praise. We thank you for this seminary. We thank you for the instruction that we are receiving, and ask you, Lord, for the wisdom to use that instruction for your glory. We thank you for the faculty and staff as they freely give in order that we may receive instruction. Lord, we ask now that you will create in us a special need to hear your message through the speaker that you have sent. We thank you have sent him and ask you be with him as he speaks to us. And Lord, may it be that all we do during this hour will be for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. You may be seated. In just a moment, our message and song is going to be brought by two of our students, Rick Osborne and Jeff Noble. Both of these men are first-year students here at Southeastern. Rick is from Farmville, Virginia, and Jeff is from Florence, South Carolina. So they're going to bless our hearts and minister to us in just a moment through music. But before they come, I want to take the opportunity to introduce today our chapel speaker, Dr. Jim Epting, who is the president of the North Greenville College in Tigerville, South Carolina, which is just north of Greenville. Brother Jim has been brought there by the Lord some 2.5 years ago, and I think you're going to hear a very exciting report in his message today as to what God is doing there in that college and the many wonderful things that he is doing as that college moves in a very evangelical and a very Christ-honoring direction. Jim is married to his wife Gretchen. They have been married today now for over 20 years, and God has also blessed them with 3 children, a daughter who is 17 and also 2 sons, one 14 and one 8. I met this man last year at the South Carolina Baptist Convention, and immediately my heart was drawn to his, and our spirits came together in a very precious way, as is true with brothers in Christ and brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so we wanted to have him come and share with us this year in chapel. And so after our special music, after our music and song, we're going to have the privilege today of hearing the president of North Greenville College, Dr. Jim Epting.
Mercy, I enjoyed that. This is indeed the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you, I'm almost ready to go home, but since I came this far, I think I'll try to speak. North Greenville College. What in the world? That's a little old small school, but it's a bright light on a little hill, folks. And we're not putting a bushel over it either. We let it be brighter every day. We're excited about what's happening there. I want you to, if you got your Bibles, I want you to be ready when we get there. I got a couple things before we get there, but we're going to be in Luke 10, verses 25 through 28. So you'll be ready. Luke 10, verses 25 through 28. But let me first set the stage for you just real quickly. North Greenville College is a South Carolina Baptist institution, one of 3. North Greenville has about 597 students now. And it is trying its best to keep her eyes on Jesus Christ. We're excited about what's happening there. And I'll tell you a little more about that because it's part of my testimony this morning. But I want you just to stop thinking about that next class. I want you to stop thinking about the problems at home. I want you to look at yourself this morning. And I want you to ask yourself, have I really cut it up a notch in my life? Have I cut it up a notch? Now, I'm assuming this morning every one of you decided to have Jesus Christ first in your life. I'm assuming that you've turned your life over to him and you're preparing yourself as best you can to better serve him. Well, Go back with me a little ways to about early May, say April, March of 91, when I had to put things in proper perspective in my life and in the life of North Greenville College. Now, a friend of mine sent me this letter. It's a cute letter, but it sort of hits right at home as to what I mean by putting things in proper perspective. Now, let's set the stage and hear this clearly. See, this young lady went off to college, and she hadn't corresponded with her mom or dad for many months now. 3-4 months have passed. They hadn't heard a word from this young lady, their daughter. Finally, they get this letter, and this is how it reads. Dear Mom and Dad, I'm sorry to be so long in writing, but all my writing paper was lost the night the dormitory was burned down by the demonstrators. I'm out of the hospital now, and the doctor says my eyesight should be back to normal sooner or later. The wonderful boy Bill, who rescued me from the fire, or fire, we say in Tigerville, kindly offered to share his little apartment with me until the dorm is rebuilt. He comes from a good family, so you won't be surprised when I tell you we're going to get married. In fact, you always wanted a grandchild, so you will be glad to know you'll be grandparents next month. Love, Sue. Then she added this P.S. Please disregard the above practice in English composition. There was no fire. I haven't been in the hospital. I'm not going to have a child. I'm not getting married, and I don't even have a steady boyfriend. But I did get a D in French and an F in chemistry, and I just wanted you to know how much worse it could have been. Woo! I didn't know you could do that. I'd have done it a lot earlier. I didn't know how much worse it could have been. Putting things in proper perspective, folks, I didn't know how much worse it could have been when I came back to North Greenville College. See, I was a dean of students there for many years and did all kind of things. And then I went off to another university, missionary work. No, went to Furman University to raise money for development. So I was over there raising money, minding my own business, had the best job in the world because I was raising money for athletic scholarships. They paid me to go to athletic events. Can you imagine that? I like athletics. I like to go to ball games, and they were paying me. Boy, I enjoyed it. I said, Lord, thank you. Well, sure enough, they called me and they said, North Greenville's having some problems. We need you to come back. I said, no, not for me. I've got a good job. My family's happy. Furman University, they educate all my kids over there. They pay for everything. They treat me like I'm a king. I'm having the greatest time in the world. I'm not wanting to go back to North Greenville. I'm hearing a lot of tough things about North Greenville. They said, well, pray about it, think about it. And I said, well, I'll search God's word, and I'll pray on it, and I'll let you know, but right now I'm just sure God doesn't want that to happen. You've been there. Whoa. Well, I called my daddy up. And, you know, my daddy's special to me. I hope most of you still have your daddies, and they're special to you. But my daddy's been a South Carolina Baptist minister all his life. He's 76 years old and very special to me. And I called him up, and I said, Daddy, this is your old school. I said, You came out of the service, you had your family, we all went to North Greenville College. That's the only school that would take you. Good Lord called you after service to be a preacher. We went to North Greenville and you went on from there to Furman University and went on to Southern Seminary. You've been preaching in this state all your life. Now you're part-time director of missions down in Edisto Association in South Carolina. And North Greenville's giving you that foundation, but they're saying some tough things about your school. They say it's going to close. South Carolina Baptist is not supporting it anymore. We only got 329 students. There's $3 million in debt. What are they going to do? How can I do anything? I don't know if I want to get into a situation like that. They're fixing to close the place down. He said, Jimmy, whether you take that job or not, that school's been there 100 years. And it'll be there another 100 years because the Lord has his hand on it. I said, thank you, Daddy, for telling me what to do. He didn't tell me, but he basically did tell me that I needed to pray some more about it, that I needed to search God's word a little bit more about it. If I was going to get in a situation like that, I couldn't do it. Jesus Christ would have to do it. So I prayed, and I know none of you are guilty of this, and I hate to admit this to you this morning, but I opened my Bible and did some of this and hoping it would say something to me that morning. Well, it did. It worked for the first time. And I came across these familiar verses that I've read many times, but it was just like that old commercial. Some of you may remember it when they talk about, I should have had a V8. Well, that was, the light came on, and the verses jumped out at me. And it said to me something very special that morning. And read with me quickly. 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? And he answered, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind. And thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. You answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. Now, what did that say to me that morning was that, Jimmy Epting, it was time for you to be more committed than ever before in your life, especially if you were even thinking about taking on the responsibility of president of North Greenville College. You know, I tried all my life. Don't misunderstand, folks, where I'm coming from. I was saved at a very early age. You know, we don't use that word enough in church anymore, saved. We talk about commitment or dedicated or making a decision, but folks, I was saved. Jesus Christ came into my heart. That early age, I was even questioned. You know, 7-year-old making a decision, you know, can't be for real, but folks, it's been for real, and I've tried to live for him ever since. And I try to get my family in church every Sunday, and Wednesday nights we go to church, and I teach Sunday school to the singles group on Sunday morning when I'm not preaching somewhere, and I do the youth on at discipleship training on at night on Sunday, every Sunday night, and I do RAs every other Wednesday night. I hope to get back in time tonight to do my RA group again, and I try. I've been trying. But folks, it was time. If I was going to take on responsibility of serving Jesus Christ full time, with all the might that I have, with all my mind, with all my strength, with all my heart, all my soul, I had to cut it up a notch or two in my life. It was time to cut it up a notch or two in my life. Still, I had to have a burden that just wouldn't die for lost souls. I needed to walk Jesus Christ with me all the time, every step of the way. I couldn't say I was doing, even though I was in church, I think I was playing church, folks. I was too religious and not Christian enough. Well, I met with the board of trustees in May of 91. We got down on our hands and knees and we said, yes, North Greenville College has been a good Christian college for 100 years now, but it was time for North Greenville to cut it up a notch or two. We had to care as much about the spiritual well-being of our students as their academic achievements. We had to be committed to quality education in a biblically sound, Christ-centered environment. It was time that Jesus Christ flavored everything we did on our campus. Oh, yes, many folks said, well, what about our academic freedoms? What about this? Well, what about it? You know, just this past week, we had Christian Emphasis Week on our campus, and over 150 students made a commitment of some kind to Jesus Christ. We started a four-year church-related vocation program, have one of our very first graduates here at Southeastern, Mike Runyon, having our first graduating class this May. We're in the business of training those who want to go into ministry and missions, and we're proud of it, with a good liberal arts base to it. We're excited about what's happening at North Greenville College. But Jesus Christ has performed many miracles for us. Gone from 329 students to 597. Who would have ever thought it? Had a $6 million campaign goal. 5-year plan to get there. We got there in 16 months. Celebrated last Monday night. And you know what they did to me? You know what they did? It's supposed to be a 5-year plan, Jimmy. Let's go ahead and raise another $6 million. Thanks a lot, guys. So now I got a $12 million goal, but I'm halfway there. And I give the Lord credit for it. I tell you, the Lord has done it. Not Jimmy Epting. But we got out on our knees that day, the Board of Trustees, and we said, we're turning it over to Jesus Christ. And you see what's happening? And we're excited about what's happening? We had to cut it up a notch on our campus. I had to cut it up a notch in my life. Oh, I've been a Baptist preacher kid all my life. Served the Lord all my life, but there's still so much more I need to do. Only problem I had, which you all know, is those sorry deacon kids. Led me astray every time. And you've heard that many times, but that's the truth, folks. But, yeah. But let me tell you, as I'm going through life, I look at my mom and daddy, and I say, what an influence they've been on me. What an example they have set in my life. They had me in church as often as every time the doors opened. And there were times I resented that dearly. And I look back on it, and I look back to when I went off to college, and I think about that time that the first time I was at college, I was 2.5 hours away from home. And you see, every Sunday morning, my mother used to holler, Jimmy, time to get up. She couldn't holler loud, but she had that shrill voice that you could hear forever, all, everywhere, all over the place. And she'd do that every Sunday morning, and I'd say, I'm not going to go, and then they'd make me. And I'm glad they did, folks. I went off to college. I said, I'm not going to go to church that first Sunday. I was in bed, sound asleep. I already made my decision. I deserved a free cut. All of us deserve a free cut every now and then. You bet, 8 o'clock. Right on the button, as if she was in the room. Jimmy, time to get up. I rolled over. I said, she can't be here. I'm 2.5 hours away. Lo and behold, 8:30. Jimmy! You know what happened? I got up and went to church. I tried to go to church. I can't hardly go past a Sunday. I feel guilty if I ever miss church. My mom and daddy made me go. You know, I'm one of those folks, you can make that horse drink when you take it to the water. Because, see, if you put a big, juicy apple in there, that horse is going to try to eat it, and it's going to get some water when it tries. And when you go to church, if we motivate them, if we get them excited about Jesus Christ, if we do the right things, people are going to enjoy it. And they're going to be glad they're there. How many times we get up in the morning, say, I hate to do this, and you get there, and you're so glad you came. So glad you came. What kind of influence are you? My mom and daddy was the greatest influence. You know, you indirectly or directly influence over 3,000 people in your lifetime. Back in the 19th century, there was this great man of Parliament. He was traveling across Scotland in his carriage. He was going as fast as he could to make it on time for a speech. And all of a sudden, his carriage got stuck in the mud. Oh, I'm going to be late for that speech. What am I going to do? Well, this young Scottish farm lad came walking across the pasture, and he said, sir, I'll help you. Anything I can do to help you. You're such a great man. And he was so awed by him. And he went and got his team of horses and hooked them up to those horses, and sure enough pulled the carriage out, and the guy was going to make it in time for his speech. And this great man of Parliament, this Englishman, said, son, isn't there anything I can do for you? Oh, no, sir, I just appreciate the opportunity of helping you, sir. Well, aren't you going to do anything with your life? What's your plans? Oh, yes, sir, I'm going to be a doctor. Well, let me help you. And true to his word, this great man of Parliament, this Englishman, helped him go to college to become a doctor. Now, move forward many years. There's another great Englishman, another man of Parliament. He was in Morocco, there for a wartime speech. He was stricken with pneumonia, about to die. This man's name was Winston Churchill. And Winston Churchill was saved because of this drug, penicillin. Well, the guy who discovered penicillin was Sir Alexander Fleming. He was that Scottish farm lad that came across there. And the man who paid for his education was Randolph Churchill, the father of Winston. You see, you never know the influence you and you and you may have on another. You know, when I came across those verses, particularly the one that says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, it just jumped out at me, and it said, Jimmy, it's time to cut it up a notch in your life. Have you been the right kind of influence? Have you made a difference for Jesus Christ in your home, in your church, in your workplace? I ask each and every one of you today, are you really making a difference for Jesus Christ? You know, I've been in graduate school, and I look back, and I'm ashamed of some of the things I did. There were times that I just didn't measure up in my Christian faith. You know, sometimes we could get around, and good Christian folks, but we could do some of the darnest things that I know it wasn't pleasing to God. And I know we get involved with studying and getting involved with so many things that sometimes our families become second and third down the line. And God, although you study maybe for the ministry, sometimes we distort it a little bit. And God doesn't remain number one like he should be in our lives. And the lives that each one of you are going to touch and the difference you're going to make for him is so important. So the question to me is awfully important. Cut a notch up in my life. What does that mean for me, and what does that mean for you? I think it's different for each one of us. Only God knows where we are in our relationship with him. There's a dear lady, her name was Ms. Ward. Oh, she was such an influence on me. Not too long ago, probably about 5 years ago now, I lived across the street from her. Now, Ms. Ward was in her 80s, and she had worked hard. She was one of those ladies that had to plow behind a mule. She was a farmer. She came up, raised her own children, and husband had left, and just one of those hard-core ladies, but God-fearing ladies. And she would love to talk and share with me. I lived across the street, and when I was at North Greenville the first time, she'd always say, "Jimmy, you're going to be president of that school." And I'd say, "Oh, Ms. Ward, I'm not smart enough, and I'm not capable of doing something like that, and I'm just old country boy. They're going to have somebody better than I doing something like that." But she always felt sure that was going to happen, but she'd always share with me, and she was so wise, and she'd tell me good things and tell me Bible stories, and she'd tell me stories over and over again. I'll never forget, she always helped me be a better farmer. I had a nice big garden right across the street from her porch, and it was eye level, and I tried to keep my bank cut down so she could see my garden because I needed some help on my gardening, and she would always work in her big farm area, a huge garden, and she had a walker, and she'd walk and hoe, I said, "Ms. Ward, why is your garden so big? You can hardly walk." "Oh, I got to have a big garden. I'm used to that." And she'd work hard at it, and she'd do it early in the mornings. And then in the evenings, she enjoyed, and it motivated me to go down there because she enjoyed it so, but she enjoyed watching me come home from work, change clothes, and go work in my garden. And she'd sit on the front porch, and she only had one bad habit that I know of, and that was she loved to dip snuff. And she'd have a spittoon right over here on the other side of her porch, and she'd have that snuff, and I'd be out there working in the garden, and it'd be eye level with her, and she'd be working away, sitting there just taking it easy, but she'd be working away on that snuff. And it'd start drooling a little bit. I knew it was getting good because it started coming down here a little bit, you know? And she'd sit there, and she'd go, "Ding!" And as soon as I heard that ding, I knew it was coming. She'd say, "Jimmy, I tell you one thing, if you don't hoe around that corn better, it's not going to grow. Ding! And the crows are going to get it if you don't pull some string across there. Ding!" And I started going to say, "Miss Ward, take that hoe and..." But I didn't. And I would hoe a little while, but then I would use the excuse of coming over to her house and get some lemonade and sitting on that porch with her. I'll never forget, they called me and said, "Come down the hill quickly." And I came down the hill quickly, folks, and I went in there, and Ms. Ward was on the floor, and she was dying. I got over her and did everything I could to keep life right there. But you know, the good Lord said it was time for another gardener, another farmer. Evidently, the corn, the crows must have been getting them. Because Ms. Ward, I was over doing the best I could. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, trying to keep life in someone. And all of a sudden, I just backed off. It's just like the angel just pushed me. And it just filled. The room filled. And it was the greatest experience in my whole life. I could just see Ms. Ward leaving the room. And I know maybe some of you don't understand this or believe this, but folks, I experienced a wonderful experience of seeing someone die right in front of me, but really live right in front of me. Really live.
But she always told me, and she would tell it over and over, and it wasn't her story, it wasn't my story, and you've probably heard the story, and I can't tell it as well as she did. But her life exemplified this last story I want to tell you. And it's about a prince and a wise man. And if you've heard it, bear with me. But the prince couldn't understand why everybody loved the wise man. Everybody would go down to the marketplace every day and see the wise man, and that wise man would reach out and love people. He'd make them feel good. You know, it's good to be around people that say, hey, how you doing, and is everything okay, and I love you, brother. You know, we like that, and we like for someone to pay us some attention. And that's what this wise man did, and the prince couldn't understand it. The prince said, I'm going to make this guy look like a fool. I'm going to discredit him. I don't like him. He's taking all my people away from me and my land, and I'm not going to put up with it. So he got his followers around. He said, I'm going to disguise myself as a peasant. I'm going to go down to the marketplace, and I'm going to have in my hands a white dove, and I'm going to ask that wise man, is this white dove dead or is it alive? And if he says it's dead, then I'm going to let it fly away and flourish and be something. And if he says it's alive, then I'm going to crush it and let it fall straight to the ground. Well, true to his word, the next day, he disguised himself as a peasant. He went down to the marketplace. The wise man, got everybody's attention. It got real quiet. This white dove I have in my hands, is it dead or is it alive? Well, this wise man looked at him with eyes of compassion. Oh, son, you just do not understand. That which you have in your hands is what you make of it. Is what you make of it. A wise answer from a wise man. You see, it was up to the prince and what he did with what he had. Ms. Ward told me that story, and then she'd go on to say, Jimmy, if Jesus Christ is going to make it in this world today, it's up to you and what you make of it. Are you going to make a difference for him? I didn't understand what that meant 5 years ago till that morning when I came across this scripture verse for the 100th time, and it finally jumped out and hit me right between the eyes. It meant that I needed to love my Lord more than I've ever loved him before. And if I was going to do that, if I was going to take on a new responsibility, if I was going to go in full-time Christian service, then I had to set a good example every step of the way. I had to be the right kind of influence all the time. That means when I'm at home with my son and my sons and my daughter. That means when I'm in church. That means when I'm working. That means when I'm with my buddy or my friends. Cut it up a notch in my life? Yes, I had to cut it up a notch or two. And I thought I was doing all I could do for Jesus Christ. I'm asking you this morning, are you really and truly doing all you can do for Jesus Christ? Are you just going through the motions at times? Are you just playing a good game? Folks, I've played the game, I know. I realized, thank goodness, not too late, that it was time to cut it up a notch or two or three in my life if I was going to make a difference for Jesus Christ. See, it goes on to say, do this and you shall live. He replied, do this and he shall live. You know, going around preaching, I'm through. But going around preaching, you find little things in bulletins. And I always try to get a bulletin where I speak so I can take it back and prove to my youth that I was in church and not taking a free cut. But I ran across this one, and I want to share it with you, and it sort of sums it all up for Jimmy Epton. As a mother watched her young son playing with his friends at the beach, he became dirtier and dirtier by the minute. Finally, in mock distress, she asked aloud, has anyone seen Jimmy? I am sure none of these boys is my Jimmy. He is a nice little boy and clean. These boys are so dirty. Has anyone seen my Jimmy? Mommy, shouted a voice from under a pile of sand. It's me under the dirt. I'm Jimmy. A time comes in life for each of us when we feel like crying out to God, Lord, it's me under the dirt. But he already knows. No matter the shape our life is in, we need only to come to him, trusting, seeking forgiveness. And he promises to wash away our sins, leaving us as white as snow. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul. That means I'm saved. All your strength and all your mind. See, you're studying and working so hard right now to love him with your mind. This is God's holy word. There's not a better book anywhere. You study it and you know it, and you'll be very prepared to do his work. And then you take that heart, soul, and mind, and you put it to work, and it turns into strength, and you love God with your strength. Be committed like never before. Cut it up a notch in your life. Set the right example. Be the right influence. If you don't, we can't expect others. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time we've had together. The message is simple. I'm a simple person. But dear Lord, I love you. And I've tried to share your word. And dear Lord, I hope they hadn't seen me this morning. I hope that you've used me this morning to make a difference. And that each person here today will do more than they did yesterday and today to make a difference for you. Go with every family and every person. Guide, direct them, and protect them. We know you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. All things are possible through you. For Christ's sake, amen.
Dr. Epting, Brother Jimmy, we're so grateful that you've come to share with us today, and I think I can say for all of the Southeastern family, we are delighted to know that a man like you is the president of the North Greenville College, and we thank God for you and want you to know that you'll be in our prayers, and we look forward to a wonderful relationship with you in the days ahead. Thank you so much for your message today to challenge our hearts. Thank you for being here today at our chapel service. You're dismissed.